Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians, the end of chapter 2, and we'll read through chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians 2:17 through chapter 3. This is God's Word. "But brothers, when we were torn away from you for a short time, in person, not in thought, out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you. For we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did again and again, but Satan stopped us. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy. So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and God's fellow worker in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. You know quite well that we were destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted. And it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter might have tempted you and our efforts might have been useless. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us just as we also long to see you. Therefore, brothers, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now, we really live since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day, we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. If you were in prison and you were being mistreated, what would be the longing of your heart? What would you be eager to see? What would you cry out to God for? I know what I'd be inclined to say. Get me out of here! And yet, Paul, in the midst of suffering and persecution, his heart's cry, his great longing is, "God, please let your people be true to your word. Father, give these people a love for one another. Cause them to walk in obedience to your spirit and do what is right." That's his longing. That's what biblical love looks like. It's not just about thinking somebody's cute or enjoying someone's company. It is wanting that person to do right. We have a view of love in our society today that basically says if you love people, you'll approve of whatever they do. So whatever kind of stuff they're into, whatever turns them on, whatever makes them feel good, whatever they feel right about, if you just love them, just love them. If you love a heroin addict, you want to see him get off heroin. If you love an alcoholic, you want to see them get rid of booze. If you love a person who is involved in sexual immorality of any kind, you want to see that person stop that. People mess themselves up over and over and over and over in life because when God says, you can eat the fruit of any of the trees of the garden, but don't eat from that tree. Our human history, from the very start, in every generation, in every family, in every individual life, is to say, what's so special about that tree? Looks good. I'll be like God? Wow. That's our history. Over and over and over, we do what we're told not to do. And so if you love people, you're going to want them to say no to their evil desires. Not because you don't love them, but because you do love them. It's because you love them that you don't want them to do what comes naturally. Because what comes naturally is stupid. That's what comes naturally. Okay? We by nature are bent toward doing the wrong thing. And if you go off and do what comes naturally, you will follow the crowd off of a cliff. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many travel thereon. Narrow is the way that leads to life, and few people find it. That's what Jesus said.
Every now and then people ask me, who pays for the airtime for you to be on the radio? I can understand why people would be mystified by that. The answer is, our listeners do. We would really appreciate it if you would join with others in keeping these broadcasts on the air. We'd love to hear from you. You can go to our website. That's probably the easiest way to contact us, pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. There's all kinds of stuff there, even a picture of my family. If you haven't seen my family, you've missed a blessing. We've got quite a tribe. 7 kids, 8 grandkids. They're not all on the website, but enough of them are to give you the impression. Please go to the website, pastorwood.org. Check out the books, the videos that are available. We've got a lot of stuff that we would love to share with you. And we would really appreciate hearing from you. God bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So when Paul is writing to the Thessalonians, he writes to them wanting them to do what is right. He writes to the Thessalonians and he says, I was afraid maybe you guys had been led astray. As I'm in the midst of persecution, my concern is for you, lest you've tripped up, lest you've been tempted in some way and have gotten off the path. Because, let me tell you, it's easy to get off the path. It's a narrow way that we need to travel. Well, so you think you're holier than everybody else? Not everybody else, but certainly we are seeking to live as the Apostle Paul described it, a holy life. He says about himself, surely you remember that we lived a life that was worthy of God, who calls us to his kingdom and glory. We sought to live a holy life before you. That's the way you're supposed to live. God is calling us, if we're followers of Jesus Christ, not to let the world around us squeeze us into its mold, Romans 12. Don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. Don't be so concerned about trying to fit in, be normal. Now, does that mean that we strive to be weird? Of course not. While our goal is not to be strange or weird or out of step with the culture, our goal is to be holy. Our goal is to please the Lord. Our goal is to live in a way that honors Him. And if we do that, we will be out of step with the culture, inevitably. You don't have to try and be weird. You'll be perceived as weird just for doing the right thing. Just think about the fact that in our culture, if you always tell the truth, you'll be something so extraordinary. People say, I can't believe he just admitted that. I've had people say to me when they gave me too much change and I give the money back, they'd say, well, thanks, but why would you do that? Well, the answer is because no amount of money is worth disobedience to God. Let me tell you, those kinds of experiences open the door for you to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul is writing to the Thessalonians and he's saying, please, live like that. And he says, I was so concerned. I long for you. Now, it's hard for us to deal with verse 18 of chapter 2. We wanted to come to you. Certainly, I, Paul, did again and again. I repeatedly wanted to come. I wanted to come. I really wanted to come. But Satan stopped us.
Does the devil ever, interfere with our plans?
Yes.
Do you think the devil can hold things up, or is he a defeated foe?
He's a defeated foe.
Well, and how could he hurt us?
I think maybe that's one reason God has given me the opportunity to deal with various poisonous snakes over the years. Did you know that you can be bitten by a snake that is defeated? You can have a poisonous snake where you have cut it in half, and it is still at its head going like this. And those teeth are still sharp, and those sacks of venom still have venom. Even though that snake is defeated, it's still potentially able to strike and bite and wound. So the devil can hurt us? He can wound us, but he can't destroy us. He cannot ultimately do us harm because he is not able to do anything other than what God chooses to allow. And in fact, what God intends for our good. In fact, Paul, in describing the suffering and the persecution that he was enduring, says, and you know we were destined for this. Destined for this? Destined for suffering? Yes. Destined for pain? Yes. Destined for hardship? Yes. We, the Christians, believers, were destined for this. This is what God promised would happen. This is what God said to anticipate. He said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. Well, I don't think so. I think if we learn how to do a proper presentation, we'll be popular. The world will beat a path to our door. I would submit to you that one of these days the world will beat a path to our door and nail us to crosses. You mean literally? No, probably not literally in this culture, not anytime soon. But lawsuits and that kind of thing, yeah, that's on the near-term horizon. That's already happening in some parts of the country and even more so in other countries. Because if you are serious about doing what God says, you're going to be out of step with the culture around you. And there are going to be people who will hate you for it, and they will do everything they can in order to try and shut you down. This is what we were destined for. This is what we were destined for. Don't run from that. Don't ignore that. This is what we were destined for. But I want you to see, short of that kind of persecution and suffering and so forth, Spirit-filled, godly people seeking to do the Lord's will can find themselves repeatedly having their desires frustrated. We wanted to come to you again and again. Verse 3, or chapter 3, verse 1. So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy to strengthen and encourage you. Look at verse 5, chapter 3. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. If he's saying he could stand it no longer, obviously it had been for quite some time a painful situation where he's wanting to do something and he's being frustrated in his desires. Don't think that if you are a follower of Jesus Christ and you walk in the Spirit, you always get everything you want. But there are times when it's like, good grief. This is going wrong, this is going wrong. I won't share somebody else's testimony, but I got an email recently from somebody I love and care about very much. And they're going through a series of losses where this happened, this happened, this happened, this happened. And you look at that and you realize, okay, that's not coincidence. That's an attack of the enemy. They're under siege. Well, obviously, there must be sin in their life. No, that's not what the Bible says. The Word teaches that when you do the will of God, you will often be frustrated. You will often experience loss. You will frequently encounter persecution. And when it happens, you're supposed to rejoice. So I'm not supposed to be frustrated? No. You can be frustrated and rejoice at the same time. Those are not mutually exclusive because our rejoicing is not based on our circumstances. Our rejoicing is not based on our feelings. Our rejoicing is based on what we know to be true. We see the big picture. We know how it turns out in the end. In the end, it's all good. And so even the difficulties we go through are for our good. Gold and silver, valuable things, gold and silver in this world. Gold and silver are refined in the fire. If you recognize the value of the gold, if you recognize the value of the silver, it is for that reason that you will put it into the fire in order to refine it, because you want it to be pure. And in order for it to be really pure, it has to be refined. And that only happens with heat that melts the gold, that melts the silver. And when it is in that molten state, the impurities come to the surface. What happens to you and me when we go through hard times? The impurities come to the surface, don't they? It takes a while to replace those old habits. It takes a while to replace those old thought patterns. But you and I are supposed to put off sin and put on the righteousness of Christ, deliberately choosing to embrace Jesus' way. And if you and I are going to do that, it's a daily thing. It's a daily thing. But the Apostle Paul was frustrated because he longed to see these folks and he wasn't able to do it. But the reason he longed to see them was not because he hadn't had any pecan pie in ages, or because nobody makes greens like Mama. The reason he longed to see these folks was because he wanted to be sure that they were really living for the Lord. And so what happened? He sent someone to check on them, Timothy. And Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He's told us you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us just as we also long to see you. Therefore, brothers, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live since you're standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day, we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. What's on his heart? He's saying, Dear Lord, please help these folks to stay true to you. And when he hears that they are, he's saying, Thank you, God, for what you're doing in Thessalonica. Thank you, Lord, that there's a people there who are living for Jesus. Verse 11, Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. In other words, his longing is still to come see them. Now, doesn't that mean that he would get out of the situation he's in? Yes, it would. But the goal is not just to get out of the situation he's in. The goal is to be with the believers whom he loves. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. God wants us, his people, to be a people whose lives overflow with love. But I want to remind you of what we said earlier about what love looks like. It doesn't mean you approve of what everybody does, and you just want people to go ahead and do whatever feels right to them. If you love people, you will want them to do what is right. If you love people, you will be very distressed by behavior that is evil, because love does not rejoice in evil, but rejoices in the truth. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. I want you to notice Paul repeatedly uses the word holy to describe believers in his letter to the Thessalonians. Holy. Paul reminds us again in this chapter, as he does in each chapter, that the Lord is coming again. And he's coming with his holy ones, those who've been set apart, who belong to him. And he's coming for his holy ones. And if you don't desire to live a holy life, you're not part of this Christian family. You need to repent and ask God to make you totally devoted to him. Because without holiness, no one will see the Lord. And so everything we looked at today, all the amplification of loving, longing, being frustrated and still rejoicing, all of that is an expression of what it looks like to be holy. And you and I must be holy because God demands it. And God provides it through the work of our risen Lord Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.